In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Tomorrow is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt. And of course, the scriptures, at least some of the scriptures, are about her. Certainly, one epistle reading and one gospel reading is appointed for her. But I, in my simplicity, think that both epistle readings are about her. At least have things that definitely apply to her life and therefore also to ours if we are careful. The first reading that would be read is the one for the Sunday, which is not explicitly said for St. Mary, but like I said, I think it's for her as well. And it's from Hebrews about Christ being a high priest. And it says that he became a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is, himself. And it discusses how that neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. St. Paul is referring to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, which were a type, a figure, a shadow of the sacrifice of the high priest. Now, our Lord is called a high priest because the priests would offer sacrifice for sins. And our Lord, they would offer an animal, or animals, many animals, and sacrifice for their own sins and for the sins of the people. But they would do this again and again and again because this forgiveness that occurred was temporary. And the reason it was temporary is because it did not heal, and man would sin again. And so the sacrifices were necessary again and again. But our Lord made one sacrifice, this time not of an animal, but of himself. That is why he is also a priest. He was the offerer and the offered, the high priest. And so St. Paul says something which I think applies directly to Mary. We should have her life memorized by now. Not verbatim, of course, but you should be able to tell her story pretty clearly from beginning to end, from listening to it throughout the years. If you've only had a few years of listening, perhaps, but if you've had 10, you should be able to tell her story because it's an important one, because it's a story that applies to all of us. Now, in the end of this epistle to the Hebrews, this section from Hebrews 9, he says, "If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh," speaking, of course, of the old sacrifices, the ones that were a shadow of the sacrifice to come, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And this is what I think applies to St. Mary absolutely. If you know her story, she was a great sinner. She mentioned that she was baptized and guarded by baptism, but it was clear, especially from another comment she made, where she had never known people who read from books, never even seen anybody who read from them. She was illiterate and was among illiterates. That's clear that she'd never been in church except to be baptized and to venerate the cross. And then the next day to receive the holy mysteries and go into the Jordan desert. Three times the woman went to church. And then after she was baptized, she spoke of how she fell into deep and disgusting and continual sin of all kinds. Things that she said were imaginable and unimaginable. So she had a conscience that had dead works in it. But when she came to her senses, that blood of Christ purged her conscience of those dead works to serve the living God. Of course, the process was one that took 17 years in the desert. She lived 47 years in the desert. But 17 of those years, she said she was wrestling with wild beasts, and she described the terrible ways in which she was tempted to fall back into fornication and drinking wine and listening to drinking songs and eating meat and fish and all the things that she had so much of when she was in Egypt. But her conscience was completely purged by her repentance from dead works. And that's what happens when we become Christians, if we live according to the purpose of our life. Our conscience will be purged of dead works, and that is because we change. And so let us go to Galatians, which is the one that specifically is supposed to be about Saint Mary. And it's about the law. Now, the law was another type and another figure that has now ceased to be, because when the actual is here, there's no need for the figure. That's one reason why Christians do not circumcise. Circumcision was a type of baptism. With baptism, there's no need for the external sign of circumcision. Because of the one sacrifice of Christ, there's no need to continually sacrifice animals. And the law was a figure of how we should live, of what we should do. But the law only told us what was wrong. It did not tell us how to fix anything. And it did not fix anything. Only Christ would heal us. So now, with Christ coming to heal us, there is no need to speak of the law, except to understand how the Lord used it and schooled us in it. In fact, it was called a schoolmaster, St. Paul called it. He said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. This word justified is an important word to understand. To be justified is to become righteous. It's not something that is declared, it is something that is become. If that's the right grammar, I think you understand what I mean. We become justified. It's not bestowed upon us. We become justified by becoming changed. And he goes on and says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And this next line, which of course we hear many times in the church because of baptisms, for instance. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I think that is why this is here for St. Mary. Because she was baptized into Christ, but she didn't put on Christ for about 30 years. But when she did, she became such that she could pray a forearm's length off the ground, that she could live without food and water, that she knew things about the world, that she could knew the scriptures, although she was illiterate and didn't have them with her. She had foresight and wisdom because God gave them to her, because she had put on Christ. She is a good example for us. An important one in our day, because in our day now sin is being minimalized. Just about any sin there is, we're only human. We were born that way. It was a gene. It's environment. People don't do that anymore. This is too hard. We don't want to be legalistic, blah, 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 blah. There's always a reason for us to rationalize away sin, much more so than the ancients did. And so, St. Mary did not rationalize away her sin. When she could not go through the gates of the church, she recognized, by the divine grace of God descending upon her, that it was because of her sin. And that if she wanted to have the grace of God, she had to stop sinning. So she made that important promise to the Mother of God before her icon in the portico. And after she venerated the cross, she kept it. With great difficulty. With many temptations. So we must also make our vow, and we must keep it. But we must call our sin, sin. We must not say, well, you know, it's a tough time right now. This is the way things are.
We can't do that. Sin is sin. And we must label it as such, and we must put on Christ and be rid of it. Of course, hearing the words put on Christ should make us also remember the parable about the wedding feast, right? And in the wedding feast, there was the man without the wedding garment. He came in with the wedding garment because he had been baptized. He had put on Christ. But he had taken him off. Because of that, he was judged. God help us to follow St. Mary's example, to feel the depth of our sin. Our sin is bad, too. Perhaps we have not engaged in as many mentionable and unmentionable things as St. Mary. But our hearts are hard, and they're cold, and they don't love like they should. So our sins are also grievous and terrible. I'm convinced, the older I get now, that we must feel pain if we are to find our way. You must feel inside yourself that things aren't right and that you want them to be right more than anything else. Don't listen to the world. The world says that this is wrong. The world says that this is bad self-esteem. No, this is the way the soul really is. And God wants your soul to be perfect and pure and holy. So, may God help us to follow the example of St. Mary and to put on Christ and also to have our conscience purged from dead works to serve the living God. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.